Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is the Todd Starnes Show, although I may be clinging to my gun, and I certainly believe in God. I'm no Todd. I know that, but Jeff Katz, always so happy to sit in for my dear friend Todd, who is without question the best of the best. We have so much to handle today, and let me start with a television program, which I know sounds really weird, but a couple of weeks back, there was the series finale of a program called Succession. You may have watched, you may not have watched. My wife and I really got into it and sort of binged the first season and then went back and became loyal viewers. Succession is, I'm told, loosely based on the Murdoch family, Rupert and his sons and folks who own and operate Fox News and all the rest of that. And the battle is about who's going to succeed the big guy. No, not that big guy, not the head of La Cosa Nostra, the grifter-in-chief. Oh, and apparently, did you see Todd's post earlier today? The groper-in-chief? Oh, before I get into my stuff, go to ToddStarnes.com. Please do that right now, ToddStarnes.com. Take a look at the video of this despicable bottom feeder, this deplorable dreg of society who is shuffling around the White House in his terry cloth bathrobe and his big fuzzy bunny slippers, trying to grope Eva Longoria. She's at the White House. I don't know what she was there for, but Biden is speaking. And then she's speaking, and then I guess Biden's trying to thank her in a way that, I'll tell you what, if he was thanking my wife that way, whew, boy, we'd have words to say the least. But anyway, that's posted. The video Todd found is incredible, ToddStarnes.com. Now, back to Succession. So the big battle over there, who's going to succeed Logan Roy? Logan Roy is the character who has passed away. He built this empire, yada, 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 yada. But Logan Roy has a line, character, during, well, I don't know, a show a couple of episodes back, and man, it defines everything. He's talking about his own kids, and he says to them, "You're not serious people. You're not serious people." Now, some people, I'm sure, watched it and thought it was kind of a throwaway line. I watched it. My wife watched it. Now, we looked at each other and said, that's the problem, isn't it? Not with the fictional Waystar media conglomerate in the show. It's the problem we've got in America right now. We don't have serious people in positions of leadership. We have buffoons, demented little trolls. We have people who would be better served jumping out of clown cars. They are allegedly our leaders. We don't have serious people. Because if we had serious people in the White House, in other positions of leadership, we'd be looking at the serious existential threat posed to the United States of America by China. That's what serious people would do. Serious people would say, huh, so you can't just keep printing more and more and more money and cross your fingers and say, I hope it works out, and then present that as your economic plan? Really? Oh, okay. But you know, Todd, every day as he broadcasts from the Liberty University studios, presents to me serious issues. As I sit here, blessed to be broadcasting from the Liberty University studio, I want us to think about serious things. And I also, as we think about serious things, we have to think about those things that are being pushed on us that are so clearly not serious, but are now very dangerous. Let me give you one example. Associated Press. Remember them? AP? Now, they used to be really, really thoroughly important. Associated Press and UPI was the other one. United Press International. These were the national and the international news services, and they were able to provide news from all over the world when that was a hugely difficult task. Now, not so much. So the big deal for the AP these days is they publish the so-called style book. And the style book for the Associated Press goes out to all of those good, upstanding, real reporters and serious journalists. You know what I'm talking about. They want to lecture you. Oh, gosh, do they lecture you. I've been around newsrooms now for 30-some-odd years. I've been in this goofy radio business for 30-plus years. And I have seen more useful idiots deployed to newsrooms around America than I can shake my hand at. And I used to think, well, what are you going to do? And now I'm thinking, oh, why wasn't I stronger? Why didn't I do something earlier? Why didn't I stand up and say, hey, this is wrong? Well, I didn't. And now we're left to deal with this. And yeah, I blame myself a little bit. The style book says what you can and cannot say, what you should and should not say. And these reporter types, they adhere to it. Now, the vast majority of them are atheists. They're godless, so it's, for them, I suppose, their version of the Bible. But the AP style book now says you can no longer refer to the transgender ideology as an ideology. This style book now says gender is a social construct, which would, by definition, be some sort of an ideological view, but it says it's a social construct and then forbids reporters to use the word ideology. Sex, they write, often corresponds with what with but is not synonymous with gender, which is a social construct. Really? Do not use the term transgenderism, which frames transgender identity as an ideology. But it is an ideology. You just told us it was an ideology. Then the AP style guide also says, don't provide balance. Let that sink in for a second. Direct quote, avoid false balance, giving a platform to unqualified claims or sources in the guise of balancing a story by including all views. For instance, don't quote people speaking about biology or athletic regulations unless they have the proper background. Well, AP, what's the proper background? For me, as the father of a daughter, as the husband to a wife, as the son of a mother, I am here to tell you, I have the proper background. And I can tell you, it is inherently unfair to have a 6'4" dude like Will Thomas competing in competitive swimming events against young ladies. That's all. Simple as that. I don't hate the guy. Frankly, I'm not losing any sleep over the guy. If Will Thomas, who was a failure as a male swimmer, decides he's going to be a female swimmer and all of a sudden is setting records, I think everybody's alarm bells ought to go off. I think everybody ought to be concerned about this. I think everybody ought to be listening to Riley Gaines, who says, hey, he was walking around the locker room, and I'm here to tell you, he's a dude. No question about it. So I think I have the proper background. Then they address the issue of drag queens. Drag queens, they say, are entertainers who dress and act as a different gender. Defer to the performer's wishes on pronouns. Why? No, the reason I ask... Are you going to defer to my preferred pronouns? What if I tell you that I prefer you refer to me as your Royal Highness? Because I believe that I am the King of England. Your Majesty. Yes, no, go ahead. Your Majesty. Well, you're not going to do that, are you? because you would look at me and say, hey, you're crazy.
Okay.
Or you're confused.
All right.
Or you're just playing a part or whatever it is. But you know that I am not the King of England. And therefore, even though I tell you about my preferred pronouns of being Your Majesty, you're not going to do that. I got a buddy of mine who really does, honest to goodness, believe to his core, seemingly, that he was kidnapped from the royal family. He really believes he's the King of England. Otherwise, he's a good guy. And he said, if I'm ever forced to put pronouns on letters or emails, I'm putting down Your Royal Highness and Your Majesty.
Wow. Okay.
The AP style book also says, quote, sex is inherently biological. All right, I think we can agree on that, but wait. Then they tell reporters, don't use terms like biological sex. Don't use the phrase biological male or biological female, even as they say sex is inherently biological. Gang, this is, in fact, what people are up against. I've got three kids. My sons are each, theoretically, technically, an adult. They're adults, 18 and almost 22. They're going to make their decisions. I've done my best to raise them properly, to educate them properly. My daughter, even though Julia is 20 years old, chronologically, developmentally, Julia is about 18 months old, so... with her disabilities and challenges and special needs, it's a different situation. But I don't know what the world holds for my boys. And I don't know what the world holds for your kids, but I'm telling you right now, they are up against such insanity right now. And people who are not serious about real issues, you better make sure that your kids are as serious as they can be. Now, I want to remind you how you can participate. Of course, you're always, always, always welcome to call us here. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. In addition to that, let me tell you, you will be checking out, I know, toddstarns.com, but while you're online, would you do me a personal favor? And I mean personal. I am right at the precipice of getting to some new levels on both Twitter and on Facebook, so if you could follow Jeff Katz Show on Twitter, I'd appreciate it. Jeff Katz Show on Twitter. And then over on Facebook, if you give me a follow over there, The Jeff Katz Show. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. And all the stuff we'll be talking about today, I promise you, you will find on Twitter with at Jeff Katz Show, Jeff Katz Show on Twitter, and The Jeff Katz Show over on Facebook. Always happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. It's Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
It's the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd as we broadcast from the Liberty University studios. Speaking of Liberty University, one of my dear friends, Dave Bratt, was a marvelous member of Congress, represented the 7th District here in my beloved Commonwealth of Virginia, now the Dean of the Business School at Liberty University. We're going to be chatting with him not too long from now, trying to figure out if it's possible honest to goodness, is it even possible for us to dig out from the absolute economic disaster that this buffoon in the White House has foisted upon us? I don't know. I'm not an economist. All right, I hate saying that because it reminds me of the woman who was appointed to the Supreme Court because she was a woman, but then told Senator, was it Marsha Blackburn? She told, I'm not a biologist, so I can't tell you what a woman is. Oh. And then I started thinking, well, I'm not a meteorologist, but I can tell you when it's raining. I mean, it's not that flipping difficult. It just isn't. It's really, honest to goodness, pretty straightforward when you think about it. Maybe that's the problem. A lot of people who just are not really thinking about it. Joe Biden might be one of those guys who's not thinking about it because he doesn't do a lot of thinking. I got a couple of little snippets here from a slow-mo Joe. Can we take a listen to cut number 5, please?
Why did the Ukraine FBI informant file refer you as the question? Why is that?
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Why did I ask such a dumb question?
Why did he ask such a dumb question? What are you kidding me? Look, Mr. President, you, as many of us know who have watched you for a long time, you're a flippin' grifter. You always have been. You would have been lucky to be one of those UHF late night slip and fall sort of attorneys, but you kind of sort of lucked into a Senate seat that wound up being yours forever, and you're able to reward every member of your family. They all got rich off of your name, which makes me sick, but, you know, what are you going to do? $5 million for you, $5 million for Hunter Biden. That's what we're told this Burisma executive says he had to pay. And yeah, you were referred to as the big guy. In fact, we go tiptoeing through your loser son Fredo Biden's laptop, and what do we see? The big guy. You're the big guy. Got to take 10% for the big guy. Okay. For those who say, well, you know, Joe Biden just, you got to give him some slack. Really? How about cut number 6?
Well, we're going to win, and we're going to help. We have plans to build a railroad from the Pacific all the way across the Indian Ocean. We have plans to build in Angola, one of the largest solar plants in the world. I can go on, but I'm not. I'm going off script. I'm going to get in trouble.
Uh-huh. You're a moron. I mean, I say that with all due respect. I mean, you're the president of the United States, but you're still a moron. And this idea, you're going to build just so I'm clear, you're building a train across the Indian Ocean. Okay. Well, good luck with that. Seriously. I love trains. And so I wish you nothing but the best of luck building that train across the Indian Ocean. I just don't see it quite working out for any number of reasons. Do you get a little scared sometimes? You listen to him and he says things like, well, I'm going off script. I'm going to get in trouble. Now, the first time or two, you think, well, maybe it's a joke. It's a bad joke, but again, he's not the brightest bulb on the porch, never has been. So maybe it's his attempt at humor and you got to cut him some slack. But then it gets to a point, at least it's gotten to a point for me, where I think maybe he feels like he's being held hostage almost. Seriously. I don't believe he's making decisions, do you? Do you really believe on any level that it's Joe Biden calling the shots? Because I don't. I think he is our presidential meat puppet. I think it's the Barack Obama team behind the scenes that are pulling his strings. And I think that he was delusional enough and desperate enough and married to a woman who so very much wanted to be the First Lady of the United States and live in the White House and throw big parties. And they both wanted to make sure that this loser son of theirs did not wind up in a federal prison, that they just said, well, you know, maybe you should be president. Even if you're just playing the part. Even if you're not really doing anything. Just a few thoughts. Hey, get ahead of the curve. Go and follow The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Follow Jeff Katz Show on Twitter. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Jeff Katz Show on Twitter. It is Jeff Katz. Happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. And you are listening to The Todd Starnes Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
The Todd Starnes Show, live from the Liberty University Studios. Jeff Katz, oh, so happy to be sitting in for Todd. Man, we got so much that we have to unpack it. I think that's the phrase that most of us use these days. It's not a crime to be white, I found out. I mean, it sounds bizarre. And the reason I mention that is that Starbucks is now finding out it is okay to have white employees. And in fact, you can't punish your employees just because of their skin tone. Now, it sounds really twisted, right? I mean, it really does. We all, if we're of a certain age, grew up in a time where we said, hey, anybody who's qualified ought to be able to get a job, right? You should not be able to discriminate against someone because you don't like the color of their skin. That seems about as basic and as honest and as straightforward as you can possibly get. But if you flash back just a couple of years, it was 2018 in the city of my birth, Philadelphia, where the manager, the regional manager for Starbucks, was terminated. Her name is Shannon Phillips. And if you remember the story, back in 2018 in Philadelphia, two black men were arrested at a Starbucks store in Rittenhouse Square, which is it's kind of an upscale section of Philadelphia. The guys' names actually are not that important to the story, and their situation is not overly important, except his background, because the story is about this Shannon Phillips who lost her job. But what happened is these two guys were in the Starbucks and they said, we're waiting for a third person to arrive. We're going to have a business meeting here, I guess, at Starbucks. Okay. And then one of them, or both of them, wanted to use the bathroom. And one of the employees of the store said, oh, no, bathrooms are only for customers. You didn't buy anything. You can't use the bathroom. So the employee then decided this was a big issue, big threat. They called 911. The police arrived. These two guys were detained by police. You may or may not recall. Then there was all sorts of protests. And then Starbucks closed all of their stores one day so they could participate in racial bias education training. I hate Starbucks coffee. I have forever. I am a Dunkin' Donuts guy. I grew up on Dunkin' Donuts coffee. That, to me, is the best. Wawa. Don't tell my friends at Dunkies, but I think Wawa actually has better coffee than Starbucks and Dunkies. So, for me, whether Starbucks is woke or unwoke or open or closed, doesn't make any difference to me. But when I look at this situation, I'm thinking, man, if I were to drink Starbucks, I would stop. Because after they close these 8,000 stores, they force all of their employees to take this so-called training. Shannon Phillips, who had been the regional manager, says then Starbucks starts punishing employees. But they're only punishing white employees. And they're doing this, she says, as an effort to repair their public image. There was a black supervisor of the Starbucks. According to this lawsuit, he didn't receive any disciplinary action from the company.
Phillips was actually a regional manager. She oversaw 100 stores in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and Maryland. She'd been with the company for 13 years, apparently a stellar record. She was instructed, she says, to place another white manager who had been with Starbucks for 15 years from another store on administrative leave due to allegations of racial discrimination. Well, that sounds pretty serious. So what are the allegations? Employees at the store claim that black employees were making less than white employees. Interesting, should be addressed, except the one detail that nobody bothered to care about or acknowledge was that the manager didn't actually have any control over wages. So Shannon Phillips says, I am not suspending the manager. He's got nothing to do with setting the wages. He's not paying black employees less than white employees. And on top of that, I've never seen him to engage in any sort of discriminatory behavior. 1 week after that, she was fired, according to the Restaurant Business publication. And she claimed she was fired from Starbucks because they needed a scapegoat. Well, this has now wound its way through the legal system. She was awarded $600,000 in compensatory damages. And as a Law 101 review, compensatory damages make you whole in terms of income. How much did you lose as a result of this situation? We are compensating you for your actual losses. So it's your salary, benefits, stuff like that. But wait, there's more, as the late, great Ron Popeil used to say. The jury also awarded her $25 million in punitive damages. Punitive. Punishment. Punishment directed towards Starbucks to say to them, you can't pull this crap. It's outrageous. It's absolutely inappropriate. And we're not going to tolerate it. Well, there you go. Good for the jury. Good for her. Good for Shannon Phillips if she gets $25 million. Now, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if I got $25 million from Starbucks, because Starbucks, operation was acting like a jerk, what I would do, I would buy a bunch of Starbucks franchises and then change them into, I don't know, Dunkin' Donuts or Wawa or somebody who actually had really, really, really good coffee. I don't know if it's going to happen. I kind of doubt it, but it's something I would think about. I want to share a little snippet with you here. CBS, part of the legacy news media apparatus, does their best, as you know and I know. They carry the water for the left wing, essentially wait for those Democrat Party talking points to come in and then keep hammering them. And what you and I also know is that the vast majority of these folks at the legacy news media operations, they're really comfortable. They're not getting up and going to work in the same way that you do. They don't have to worry about breaking rocks in the hot sun or filling ditches or climbing up on a roof to fix it or any of that stuff. I mean, they're in good economic situations. And so they don't worry about things like that. And that leaves them a lot of time to play social engineer. And when they play social engineer, they operate almost exclusively from the left side of things. And they really apparently believe they know best. It is the problem with so many of these leftists. They know better than you do how you ought to live your life, how you ought to raise your children, how you should think, what you should eat, how far you should be able to drive from your home. I want to give you a little snippet here. CBS is chatting with the head of the American Medical Association. You may or may not be ready to hear what is the big concern for these two. Cut number two.
Dr. Jesse Ehrenfeld is an anesthesiologist, Navy veteran, and father.
What do you think is the top issue facing physicians today?
So after 3 years of experiencing so much stress with COVID, you know, we've had this twindemic a pandemic of the disease plus a pandemic of misinformation and bad information.
Dr. Ehrenfeld is taking over at a difficult time. Doctors are facing burnout, soaring medical costs, Medicare payment issues, and new legislation targeting the LGBTQ community and reproductive rights.
We have a healthcare system in crisis. I hear that from my physician colleagues.
How do we have a healthcare system in crisis?
So today there are so many backseat drivers telling us what to do, and we've got regulators that are discarding science and telling physicians how to practice medicine, putting barriers in care.
Those barriers include what he considers the criminalization of healthcare.
In at least six states now, if I practice evidence-based care, I can go to jail. It's frightening. When a patient shows up in my office, if I do the right thing from a scientific, from an ethical perspective, to know that that care is no longer legal, criminalized, and could wind me in prison.
What kind of care are you talking about?
So gender-affirming care, care for transgender patients, as well as abortion, reproductive health care.
What do you think's behind this criminalizing of doctor care?
Healthcare has been a target as of late in a way that has been deeply damaging, not just to the health of patients who are seeking specific services, but to every American. So we see patients who no longer can find an OBGYN because OBGYNs are leaving a state where they have criminalized certain aspects of care. That affects all women in the state.
Dr. Ehrenfeld hopes to improve health equity for all underserved groups, and he hopes to be a role model for any young doctors, and especially his own sons.
Yeah, well, here's hoping that your sons look at you and realize just what dangerous crap you are peddling. Here's hoping that nobody looks to you and says, yep, that's what I want to do. All of the euphemisms. Well, it's reproductive health care. Why don't you people just say what it is? What's with all of the nifty new terminology? Reproductive health care. Female health care. Except that health care can be provided to guys who think they're women, even though they don't. Well, you know. Gang. The reproductive health care, just call it what it is. It's infanticide. I know it's an ugly term, but it's truthful. Gender-affirming care. That has such a nice ring to it. It just sounds like you're giving somebody a big hug and a cuddle and showing them pictures of puppies and unicorns and rainbows. But that's not what it is. It's the removal of perfectly healthy body parts. If you are 18 years of age and above and you decide that's what you want to do, well, it wouldn't be my thing. And I think you're probably making the wrong decision, but you are of legal age and I suppose you ought to be able to do it. And if you have a doctor who is willing to do it, so be it. My concern is when you are turning towards children. You're turning to somebody who's 11 years old and saying, yeah, you can make this decision to have perfectly healthy body parts removed and be on medication that will forever render you unable to either father children or be impregnated. Either one. You're not going to be able to impregnate anyone. You're not going to be capable of being impregnated. You will never have a child is the point. Are you going to make that decision at age 10? Now, even though we're not going to let you get a tattoo at age 10, we're not going to let you sign a legal contract at age 10. We're not going to say to the 11-year-old, yeah, go take the car for a spin. We're not going to say to the 8-year-old, by all means, you vote for president of the United States. It's bizarre. Oh, and by the way, Doc, you were probably absent the day of that whole Hippocratic Oath thing where you as a doctor were supposed to say you first will do no harm. If you want to read more about this, take a look at that video that accompanies this. You can go to The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. The video is posted there. All of the details are there as well. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. And while you're there, if you don't mind, and it's like a personal favor, would you give me a follow on The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook? I would appreciate it. Of course, while you're online, check out ToddStarnes.com. Everything Todd. All of the great books he has written, the latest one, the Daily Devotional, Our Daily Biscuit, which is a great, great read. And by the way, it would be great for Father's Day. You can order it and make sure the dad knows he's going to get it. It would be great stuff if you do check that out. It is Jeff Katz in for my friend Todd. It is the Todd Starnes Show. It's the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. Oh, my goodness. I got a great night's sleep last night. I know you don't really care, except it was with MyPillow. I've been with MyPillow forever and ever and ever. I love every MyPillow product that I have. And it's kind of weird, but I'm going down the list. Now, you have to hear this. Seriously, indulge me for a second. Sunday is Father's Day. As we speak, I'm wearing my MyPillow slippers, which are just like walking on air. This morning, taking a shower, MyPillow washcloths, hand towels, bath towels. The MyPillow sheets are on the bed. MyPillow blanket is on the bed. And then, of course, there's MyPillow. Oh, I almost forgot. The MyPillow mattress, got that. And the MyPillow pillow. So I'm thinking this is very cool. And then Todd started telling me, you know, you thought it couldn't get any better. And it's like, yeah, I got the best of the best. Well, Mike Lindell for MyPillow is actually now launching MyPillow 2.0. Mike invented MyPillow about 20 years ago, and it had everything that you could possibly want in a pillow. Well, now he's discovered some new technology that makes it even better. It's called MyPillow 2.0. It has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now it has a brand new fabric. It's made with a temperature-regulating thread. So what does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? It means the MyPillow 2.0, the softest, the smoothest, the coolest pillow you're ever going to own. And as an exclusive for the listeners of the Todd Starnes Show, you can buy one, get one free. You simply use the promo code Starnes. That simple. MyPillow 2.0, temperature regulating technology. It's 100% made in the USA. It comes with a 10-year warranty, a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square to buy one, get one free. Then you enter the promo code STARNS, or you call 800-839-8506, 800-839-8506 to get your MyPillow 2.0. That is it's an amazing, amazing opportunity, and it really is a great product. And you're dealing with people who love this country. Sometimes I wonder to myself, does anybody love this country? Who's in a position of power? I know you and I love this country. But doesn't it seem odd that the more you love this country, the more you are advocating for the United States of America, the more you feel like the people in positions of responsibility are kind of sort of pushing back in the wrong way? I mean, I look at Joe Biden, that whole team, and I think, man, they're like a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese Communist Party, aren't they? We've got this Antony Blinken, who was the Secretary of State. He's an embarrassment on every level. He's about now to travel to China, meet with the leaders in China, and essentially beg them for permission to continue operating the United States of America. Wasn't that long ago that we were an energy exporter? We drilled for oil, we produced petroleum, we exported it to the rest of the world. And in about 2 years, Joe Biden and his team of misfit toys have been able to turn that upside down and inside out. And so now we have to go to Saudi Arabia and beg them for oil. And you see the way that we've been treated by Saudi Arabia, right? They looked at Joe Biden and said, you are a delusional, doddering old fool, and we don't care what you say, and we don't care what you want. We're not going to listen to you. Call me crazy, but I remember Donald Trump having a slightly different image in the world. Read more about it. Get all the details. Follow me on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, and over on Twitter, Jeff Katz Show. Jeff Katz Show on Twitter, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. It is Jeff Katz in for my friend Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
It is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, so happy to be sitting in for my dear friend Todd. You know, Todd's got exciting stuff coming up all next week, as he is going to be handling some guest hosting duties over on Newsmax TV. I am very excited, looking forward to watching Todd, and I just got a notice moments ago that I am actually myself going to be one of the guests as Todd is guest hosting on Newsmax TV. That's going to be Monday afternoon, so it's going to be very, very exciting. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for Todd. We are broadcasting from the Liberty University studios. My information on social media, Jeff Katz Show on Twitter, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. I, 1,000 years ago in a galaxy far, far away, was a cop for a couple of moments. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure out what it is that police officers, deputy sheriffs, state police officers, state troopers, special agents are going through in this day and age when we have so many pro-criminal, anti-decent person prosecutors in the world. And I thought, well, let me try and get a handle on this. Jimmy Galliano, number one, is a dear friend of mine, which is most important, but his professional background, graduate of West Point, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. He is on the board of directors of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. We'll talk a little bit about that. And because he's got nothing but spare time, he's working on finishing up his PhD, and he's the mayor of the town in which he lives. And I'm always so happy to have the opportunity to chat with Jimmy. Jimmy, thank you for being here, my friend.
Jeffrey, how are you, brother? So good to join you, my friend. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. I really am. It's here in my beloved Commonwealth of Virginia. Beautiful sunny day. Great day for baseball and, you know, stuff like that.
How about those Atlanta Braves, Jeffrey?
Well, yeah. Listen, I got to give it to you. Are you thinking World Series again this year?
No. We're Atlanta fans. We always remember 28-3, and that event left a big mark on us in Super Bowl 51. We never get out over our skis, Jeffrey. Never.
I love it. Well, but your passion for your teams remains very strong. That's the important part as far as I'm concerned. Jimmy, this one I'm thinking is, it's such a general thing, but because it is so general, sometimes it's difficult, at least for me, to get focused on it. What is your perception in this day and age for folks who are suiting up, they're going out there, they're doing the job, but they know that the arrest they make, in many cases, simply are not going to be prosecuted?
Yeah, so you're speaking in regards to the progressive prosecutor movement, Jeff, and it has taken hold across the nation. We all know that George Soros, and now I guess he's handing this off to his son,
yeah,
is the financier behind this. We're talking Los Angeles and George Gascon. We're talking Loudoun County, Virginia, and Buddha, yep, Babarich. We're talking, yep, Chicago and Kim Fox. I think he was recalled. We're talking San Francisco and Chase Oboden. Yep. We're certainly talking Philadelphia and Larry Krasner. And, of yeah, course, my all-time favorite, because I live 60 miles north of Manhattan, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. And, Jeff, the angle here that, you know, that I almost giggle at, because, you know, I've said this to you before, you know, I entered the FBI in 1991. I was a Georgia boy, and mm-hmm, I know my accent belies that, but I show up in New York City at the height of the homicide rate, the highest homicide total in New York City's history. At the end of 1990 was 2,262 homicides. And again, we've talked about this, the vast majority of perpetrators and, more importantly, victims, 95% in both sides, are people of color. So what happens? Well, in 1994, you know, Rudy Giuliani wins. He brings in Bill Bratton, And then Bill Bratton leaves, and Ray Kelly comes along, and then Mayor Giuliani leaves, and Mayor Bloomberg comes in and brings back, you know, Ray Kelly. Mm-hmm. And over the course of those years, we went from 2,262 homicides to less than 300 by 2018. Now, what's happening now is we're looking to reverse those trends. And you'd say, well, Jimmy, why would you reverse those trends? Those are good trends. Because we're in woke times. Now, this is the laughable part about this, and you touched on my academic pursuits in looking into this, but this is the argument that you hear all the time. Jimmy, correlation does not equate to causation. All right, what does that mean from academic terms, not to make this too wonky? Mm-hmm. Well, somebody told me this. They're like, well, just because the NYPD was, you know, exercising broken windows policing, and just because we used CompStat, and just because we used stop, question, and frisk, those things didn't necessarily lead to the crime downturn. Because, Jimmy, how about this? 1971, Starbucks was founded in Seattle. In 1994, the first Starbucks was put in New York City. Well, Jimmy, we have more Starbucks in New York City now. Maybe that could have led to the crime downturn, because correlation does not equal causation. So, Jeff, that is the kind of insanity that we're dealing with. And you just want to go, are you serious? You don't understand that what the NYPD did and all those great, you know, those great crime downturns. And again, you know, people that live in gated communities, Jeff, they don't worry about crime the same way that the people in Brownsville, Brooklyn, in Washington Heights, Manhattan, in Jamaica, Queens. Those are the people that want the policing to be there. Jeff, it's insanity.
It is insanity. You're absolutely correct. I'm not pursuing a PhD. I don't understand that sort of stuff. But it seems to me that if you have these various pieces of the puzzle that you spoke about with using New York City as an example, personal experience there, you're doing these things, crime is down, and then you start taking them away and crime goes up. All right, I don't get the whole causation equals Starbucks or whatever it was, but man, something is screwed up, and I don't understand why you would then turn around and say to people who are being victimized, well, listen, it's just different times, and you're just going to have to learn to deal with crazy, murderous thugs on the subway while we're in the limousines, right? I mean, that's what this is.
Jeff, you are 100% right, and I've given you this statistic before, and it is a sobering statistic. In the summer of 2020, all right, this is right after George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis on Memorial Day in 2020, there was a poll conducted by Gallup. And the Gallup is a recognized polling company. There was a poll conducted, and African Americans were polled and said, do you want more policing in your neighborhoods, the same level of policing, or less policing? Jeff, the staggering number. Now, this is the height of the Black Lives Matter marches and protests, and yes, there were riots. Right. This is the height of all that civil unrest. 81% of African Americans said we want the same or more policing in our community. Now, the argument is, they want good policing. None of us, whether you live in a white community, black community, mixed community, whatever, none of us want bad policing. But think about that staggering number. 81% of African Americans polled suggested that they wanted the same or more policing in their communities. And what the progressive prosecutors movement is pushing, less policing and don't hold people accountable for their actions.
It's absurd. Man, it is absurd. Jimmy Galliano is joining us. Jimmy, a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, who is regarded certainly as an expert in so many of these areas. You talk about the progressive prosecutor movement saying, hey, we're not going to hold people accountable unless, Jimmy, unless they happen to be a law enforcement officer and we think we might be able to trip them up somehow. There seems to be vigorous prosecution, and that's where the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund really has to step in, right?
They do, and thank you again, Jeff. You always give me an opportunity to talk about that. There's a website. It's at policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org. The vast majority of funds donated to this organization go towards supporting the defense efforts for unjustifiably charged police officers, whether they're state troopers or cops or federal agents. It's a wonderful organization. It was founded by former Attorney General Edwin Meese back in the mid-1990s, and you can go online at that policedefense.org location, and you can actually pick the case that you'd like to make a donation to. Jeff, always appreciate you allowing me to give a shout-out to them. They do great, great work. I am privileged to be on the board of directors. I have a small piece of that, which is looking at individual cases and deciding which ones we want to support. So I hope that all of yours and Todd Starnes' listeners go there to policedefense.org and do what they can to help unjustifiably accused police officers.
We're going to do that, Jimmy. We'll share that on all of the social media platforms. We'll make sure everybody is aware of that. And I think most of us to our core realize that the vast majority of men and women who get up every day, go out there and do the job that they do, are good, decent people hoping to come home in the same physical condition, the same mental condition that they left their family at the beginning of that shift. And we certainly thank you for all of your service throughout the years. And I am, look, I'm very happy for your Atlanta Braves, even as my Red Sox are under 500 for the season.
Yeah. Oh, if that was not dripping with sarcasm, I don't know what was.
All right, well, chop on, brother. I appreciate it. That is Jimmy Galeano. He really is the best of the best. I'm telling you right now, Jimmy's somebody you ought to take a look for on Facebook and Twitter as well. And you know what? I'll send out the link for his stuff, and that way you'll be able to get it. Really a great guy. And policedefense.org, for those who are concerned with having good, solid men and women do the job that needs to be done, the job that the vast majority of Americans will never do. Don't want to see what's involved. I'm telling you right now, as an ex-cop, you don't want to know. And unless we are standing and in some way supporting those who are willing to do the job, we devolve into anarchy. And I do believe that the Soros family and these uber left-wing progressive prosecutors are looking for us to devolve into anarchy. I don't know what the end game is. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I know in the meantime, you and I become the victims. Read more about it. Get the links and everything else. I've got it up on social media. Again, if you want to hook up with me on Twitter, Jeff Katz Show on Twitter. Jeff Katz Show on Twitter. Please give that a follow. And then if you want to read more in detail, Facebook, probably the best way to do that. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. And I've got to thank our friends over at Patriot Mobile. You know, Jimmy was joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Just moments from now, I'm going to explain to you how and why you ought to be supporting Patriot Mobile. Jeff, in for Todd. It is the Todd Starnes Show. It is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, always happy to sit in for my friend Todd. Thanks again to Jimmy Galeano for dropping by for a couple of moments. Just a little look to what law enforcement officers are up against in this day and age. Jimmy, as all of the great people on this Todd Starnes Show do, join us thanks to Patriot Mobile. And join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And I'm telling you, it is more important now than ever to support companies, support organizations that share our values, and share your values in particular. You know, Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. It's true. Not only are they sharing your beliefs, but they actually do something about it. They are donating a portion of every single dollar to organizations that fight for causes you and I care about. You've got the opportunity to switch to Patriot Mobile right now. Use promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. You get free activation. You get a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. They actually use the same towers and things that the other carriers are using. It plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for veterans and first responders, heroes all, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. You go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. Todd, all right? PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount. Get your free premier activation by using promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. For more details, visit PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Just a couple of moments. Joe Moreno is going to join us. Now, Joe is, for my money, the absolute smartest lawyer on God's green earth. There is nobody, I repeat, nobody better than Joe. And he's going to run down these charges against former President Trump. Are any of them actually legitimate? I don't think so, but, you know, what do I know? 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Let me get to William, please. William's in Statesville, North Carolina, great part of the world. William, welcome to the Todd Starn Show.
Good afternoon, Jeff. First of all, I just want to wish a Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Yes, sir.
And including Bruce Jenner. Yeah, I said Bruce Jenner. He'll always be Bruce Jenner to me.
Okay.
He might identify himself as a female now, and that's his choice.
Yeah.
And this whole thing with the woke movement or transgender movement, whatever, one day they want to call themselves one thing, and another day they whatever, a matter of convenience. But anyway, those people acting like they're entitled to something. They want mm-hmm. rights. Well, what, just to acknowledge the fact that they want to change their mind and change their identity, that's fine. They have my vote on that. Mm-hmm. But they do not have my respect or my vote on the fact of what they're trying to do now is putting it in our face and trying to teach our children that it's okay. That's where I draw the line. And I think that, you know, those people, they've got it coming to them. You know, like there's an old saying down here in the South, Jeff, that, and I'm sure it can apply to up north, too, anywhere for that matter. You want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah.
And right now, God's laughing at those people, but he's going to be standing there when their time is up, and they'll mm-hmm. have to answer for their shortcomings here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They might be able to get away with the stuff that they're getting away with now here on this earth, but they will have to answer to their shortcomings just like all of us will.
Absolutely. William, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for calling the Todd Starn Show. I'll tell you, I look at some of this stuff that's going on, and I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, but here's my concern when it's directed towards children. In other words, there are people who have decided they love drag shows. I don't know what the appeal is, but so be it. They love drag shows, and if you want to entertain other adults with that, then you go and do it. But when you tell me that you can't do it or you won't do it unless there are children in the crowd, I got real problems with that. Make sure you're following me on social media, please. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Over on Twitter, leave out the. Just look for Jeff Katz Show. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
For whatever reason, there's always been a stigma around mental health in our communities. Some people say that talking about your feelings makes you weak. But you know what? It doesn't make you weak. It makes you human. No matter what you're struggling with, you can call or text 988 Lifeline to connect with a trained crisis counselor and get the resources and support you need. No judgment, no stigma, just hope. Text or call 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline day or night. 988. Hope has a new number.
It is the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. I am always, always, always thrilled to be asked to sit in for Todd. He's just one of the best guys out there. And I will tell you that next week, very, very big week for Todd. He's going to be guest hosting on Newsmax TV all week long. Looking forward to that. And I got a note a little bit earlier today from one of the producers over at Newsmax. They have asked me to join Todd on one of those programs on Monday. So this should be great stuff. I don't know whether you like or dislike former President Donald Trump. And in all candor, I'm not sure that it matters. I'm in a mixed marriage, if you will. I always was very positive towards President Trump, and my wife has always been absolutely appalled at his personal comments and the tweets and the rest of it. We did agree that the policies were good, and ultimately we both voted for his reelection. Now my question is, what happens with all of these criminal charges? Joe Moreno is the smartest attorney on God's green earth. I have said that many times. Joe is a former federal prosecutor, has served our nation with distinction as a member of the United States Army. And when I've got legal questions, I ask Joe Moreno, and today is one of those days. Counselor, thank you for being here.
Jeff, how are you on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Northern Virginia?
It is wonderful, and I will tell you, as you join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, it's not half bad here in Central Virginia either.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it's a good day in our beloved Commonwealth. Joe, I've got to ask you about the federal criminal charges that have now been filed against former President Trump. He's obviously pled not guilty. Lord knows I'm not an attorney, and I don't fully understand all of this. Do you mind making it simple enough for a layman to consume, and then giving me some insight? Are these legit?
Sure, Jeff. Well, I would boil it down to two concepts that Donald Trump is being accused of. The first one is that the government is alleging that, at the most basic sense, he had government property that he wasn't entitled to have, right? In layman's terms, we refer to it as classified documents. In the indictment, it's referred to as National Defense Information, or NDI. But either way, the government says there's boxes of documents that you, Donald Trump, took with you when you left the White House, and you shouldn't have taken them. That's basically the first concept. The second one is that the government is alleging that after months of trying to get that property back, after asking nicely through the National Archives, they went to the Justice Department and said, now we're going to have to demand them back. And that demand came in the form of a subpoena. And when presented with that subpoena, Donald Trump allegedly gave back only some of the documents that he still had. He kept a bunch more. And then reportedly, when the FBI came in a few months later, they found a whole bunch more. And at that point, they recovered the rest of the documents that Donald Trump supposedly shouldn't have had. That's basically the case.
Okay. Now, is this akin then to removing other property? Like you're looking at it going, hey, Donald Trump took a whole box of presidential pens, and we know he's not supposed to have that. I mean, it's a little more serious than that.
It's more different because of the national security angle to it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a financial theft. They would say it's effectively a theft of government property in the form of certain kinds of information, that very sensitive information.
Okay.
And you asked earlier, is this legit, right? So, you know, anybody who claims to say at this point that they know how this case will turn out is lying, right? This is so unprecedented. There's so many moving pieces here. There's both legal and political angles to this whole thing. We really don't know how it's going to turn out. I do think I can say, though, however, it's serious. And Donald Trump and his team do have to take it seriously in cultivating a defense. And I don't mean giving speeches and getting his supporters really upset about the situation. He needs to kind of buckle down and get his legal team working on this, because it is serious. And people can disagree on whether the case should have been brought Heck, I'm not sure I think it should have been brought. I have a lot of reasons why I think this was unnecessary. But the fact is, it was brought.
Yep.
And at this point, he's going to have to take it seriously and put up some defenses. Otherwise, he could be looking at some serious trouble.
All right, so let's address this now from a very serious point of view. I'll remind everybody, Joe Moreto is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, former federal prosecutor, one of the most brilliant legal minds anywhere. And if anybody can cut through this, it is Joe Moreno. Donald Trump today seems to be trying this case in the court of public opinion by minimizing it, saying, hey, this is all a witch hunt and I'm the president and I can take any doggone thing I want out of there. And if I want to declassify something, I can just say it's declassified. And that's the end of the story. And they're a lot on the political side of things, Joe, saying, yeah, exactly. But as you point out, this is now going to be tried in a federal court. And people I've heard, especially on the left, are saying, well, the judge who's been assigned to hear this, she is a Trump appointee and she's not really qualified to hear it anyway. Is Trump himself following the right thing by simply saying to his supporters, this is just a big pile of hooey and I'm just not even going to bother with it? And what about the leftists who are saying this judge shouldn't be involved?
Well, I mean, to your first question, Donald Trump might think it's a bunch of hooey, and he might get a lot of people to agree with him in public, but that's not going to fly. He can't go into court and expect that he or his lawyers will be able to give speeches like that, where they say this is unfair, or they compare this case to the case of Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or Mike Pence. That might be perfectly good to argue in public. But in court, you're not going to get too far. The judge is going to cut you off at some point and say, that's not relevant here. Stick to the facts of the case and your legal argument. So don't expect he's going to be able to have that kind of latitude when in court. The other part about Judge Cannon, and so this is where I feel like the left really, as usual, overplays its hand. I am really uncomfortable with their attack on a federal judge. Judge Cannon is she was appointed by Donald Trump. Every federal judge has to be appointed by some president.
Right.
She was appointed by Donald Trump. She was confirmed pretty comfortably, if I recall, in the Senate. It wasn't one of these 51-49 votes. She was comfortably confirmed, and she was randomly selected for this case. Yep. So it wasn't like Donald Trump picked her for this case or anyone gave it to her. It was a random selection. And yes, is she a little junior on the side of being a judge? Sure, but that is not a qualification for disqualifying someone. Okay. So if we go down this road of saying we're going to handpick judges based on whether they were appointed by Republicans or Democrats, that is a bad road to travel. So I really wish they would back off, let this case run its course. I'm sure she is eminently qualified and will do a great job.
These are fascinating issues, Joe. And you mentioned the Hillary Clinton, Mike Pence, Joe Biden himself, all the rest of that. And is there anything that the Trump defense team raises in terms of an unfair application of the law?
I mean, they can try. They can try in some kind of motion practice before the trial actually begins to incorporate that kind of a selective prosecution argument. But the problem is the rebuttal by the government will be, we bring cases like this under the Espionage Act all the time. If Joe Blow, look, I mean, I'm an Army reservist. If I took classified documents from a skiff and took them home, you can better believe I'd be prosecuted.
Right.
And they can show many more of those. So the comparison's not going to be the Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton examples. It's going to be the fact they're going to say, we bring these cases all the time for people who take documents and don't have them where they're supposed to be. Now, granted, they're not president.
Right.
So there are some differences there. But I don't think that argument's going to go too far. Now, is it poignant in the public domain? Absolutely. And I think, I personally kind of wish the Biden administration had not moved forward with this case, because it's just going to divide this country that much more. But it's not a legal argument.
What about President Trump, who has said, hey, I was president of the United States. If I say something's declassified, I don't have to tell anybody about it. It's declassified. So, again, DOJ just overreaching on this. They're just out to get me.
Now I think you're onto something. Because now I think, and I don't. This is where again I, no one can predict how this is going to play out. But I do think that Donald Trump will. He should argue that between the Presidential Records Act and his authority as the Commander in Chief to declassify virtually anything, not literally anything, it's virtually anything, that he had every belief that he was entitled to these documents, and that he had no intent to take anything he shouldn't have had, and now, in fact, they are returned, and there's no harm, no foul. I think, and I'm obviously, I am sort of breaking it down in plain English, but this would be very legalistic, but I think there's something to that, that he can say, I lacked any kind of intent to take anything I shouldn't have had. People around me told me I had this authority, and in good faith, I believed I was doing the right thing. He can try that.
Okay. The other thing I wonder about, Joe, you know, I've moved any number of times over the years. You've moved throughout the course of your life. If you're in a position where you hire movers and you say, well, we need you to do the packing, I'm not standing there looking at every piece of paper. Believe me, because I've unboxed things through the years where we had a sliver of soap and a trash can that was wrapped and packed and we discovered it. Is there anybody, am I supposed to really believe that former President Donald Trump walked around saying, yep, I want that paper, I want that paper, take that cocktail napkin? I mean, I don't buy that.
Well, and that's a factual argument, and he can certainly try that too. He can say, look, dozens of boxes came out of the White House. I didn't personally pack them.
Yeah.
I relied on my lawyers and my assistants and my aides to do it for me.
Right.
And so he can try that. Now, you know what they're going to come back with. They're going to say that we've got evidence of certain conversations he purportedly had, and he allegedly showed people certain documents. So they're going to say there was circumstantial evidence that he knew he had things he shouldn't have had.
Right.
Again, the rebuttal to that is he thought he could have them. He didn't think there was anything wrong. And if he did say something, maybe he overspoke, or you took him out of context, or the person's not recalling that conversation correctly. So you get into a factual battle there. So, there are both legal and factual arguments he can make, and then we can just sort of assume the counter-arguments the government will come back with.
Man, I'm telling you, if I ever need somebody, even for a traffic ticket, Joe, you're my guy. I mean, you're brilliant, obviously, and there's a lot more involved. You also had a great piece, and I don't have time to address it today, but you had a very, very powerful, passionate, well-reasoned piece the other day. What's the best way for folks to check it out? Because it's not just the legal situation. You're looking at the political implications of this.
Jeff, I did take a stab at something a little more political. It's in the Washington Examiner earlier this week. It's an op-ed. And basically, my conclusion is, look, legalities aside, Donald Trump is really pushing his luck, and he has a possibility of kind of dragging down the entire conservative movement here. So, I sort of say maybe it's time we walk away and go with someone who is going to be more reliable. God bless Donald Trump. I hope he does defend himself. I don't think this case ever should have been brought in the first place, frankly.
Yep.
But is it trouble that the Republicans and conservatives really don't need right now?
Fair enough. I'm going to get that up, the link. It's at the Washington Examiner. Joe, it is always my pleasure to welcome you to this and every other platform. Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. It is the Todd Starnes Show. It's the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. Always, always value the opportunity to share some time, share some fellowship, some good conversation. And you find that just in droves with the Todd Starnes Show. If you are not connected with Todd online, I'm not lecturing you. I swear to you, I'm not wagging my little finger at you, but honest to goodness, you got to be visiting ToddStarnes.com. You got to be visiting ToddStarnes.com multiple times every single day. Todd is on top of everything. Tremendous reporting, wonderful, cogent insight, and some really cool stuff as well. You'll find at ToddStarnes.com. The latest book is that Daily Devotional, which is really a good read, or Daily Biscuit, and that is available at ToddStarnes.com. if you're looking for me, well, yes, I don't have a daily devotional out, but I got one or two things in the Jeff Katz shop. You can go to thejeffkatzshow.com, thejeffkatzshow.com. There's great stuff over there, thejeffkatzshow.com. Just a moment, we're going to chat with an old friend of mine, Dave Bratt. Dave Bratt served with distinction as a member of Congress, and he is now the dean of the business school at Liberty University. We're in a world of hurt economically. You and I both know that. I mean, the fact that we were told by the water carriers and the legacy news media, hey, we ought to be celebrating 4% inflation. What? I'm supposed to be happy that we're at 4% inflation? What about wage growth? Has anybody experienced any wage growth in recent times? What about opportunities for our children? Gang, I got two boys in the college ranks. Now, my oldest guy, who, by the way, was an intern for Congressman Dave Bratt a number of years ago, I believe he still holds the distinction of having been the only high school student to ever intern for Congressman Bratt. Most of them were college students. But he is wrapping up his junior year out at Stanford. He's a smart guy. He really is. He lost a year with COVID. He should have been graduating this year. COVID shut down Stanford University, and we now know, in retrospect, absolutely positively no reason for that. None whatsoever. Should have been open, should have been educating kids. But anyway, I digress. So Harry, one more year out at Stanford, and my youngest guy, in just, it's 2 months from now. Gosh, I'm going to miss my youngest guy. He graduates high school tomorrow, walks the stage in the robe and the cap and gets the diploma, the whole Megilla. And then 2 months from today, he'll be entering as a freshman at Ithaca College. Now, they're very different guys. Harry, I'm pretty sure, is headed to become a practitioner of the dark arts, you know, an attorney. And Joe wants to be a psychologist. And I was very happy when he decided he was going to major in psychology, because that was my major. And I said to him, I said, it's like the only thing I talked to you about. I can't do math, and I don't understand economics. But psychology, I can help you with, man. But I'd sure like to think that there's going to be some job opportunities for them when they graduate. And I'm not sure with this Biden economy. We'll talk about it. Remember, check out thejeffkatzshow.com. Follow The Jeff Katz Show over on Facebook. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook and thejeffkatzshow.com. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is The Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, so happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. I'm going to remind you, next week, great week for Todd. And for us, Todd's going to be guest hosting a whole week long on Newsmax TV. You do not want to miss that. All the details are posted over at toddstarnes.com. And I got a lovely note, an hour or so ago from one of the producers over at Newsmax asking if I would join Todd on Monday. So, man, this is going to be great, great fun. If we can afford it. I mean, this is the problem. I shared with you. I got two kids in college, right? My oldest guy, my youngest guy. My oldest guy just wrapped up his third year at Stanford University. 2 weeks from today, my youngest guy ships out. He has to arrive 2 weeks from 2 months from today at Ithaca College. And what I would like is for each of them to have, I don't know, one or two job opportunities. I'd like them to have a country that I recognize. I'd like to them to have an economy that maybe is functioning in a way that is suitable to them living good, productive lives. And for the life of me, I don't know if we're going to be there. Because I look at this buffoon in the White House and I'm thinking, man, you just keep breaking stuff. Just this week, I was told, you need to stand up and clap and cheer because inflation's at 4%. Well, there's a lot of numbers involved in this, and I'm not a numbers guy. However, one of the most brilliant economists is the dean at the School of Business at Liberty University, was a distinguished member of Congress, and more importantly than that, for me, I'm happy to call him a friend, Dave Brad, who is joining us. Dave, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for the nice intro. Great to be with you. You're the hero. I just have a habit of telling the truth, and some people think that for brilliant.
Well, you are definitely telling the truth, and the best part about it, and this is why I've got to imagine that folks who were fortunate enough to have you as a college professor appreciated it. You can break it down for people like me who are not fully equipped to participate in a business school discussion, but man, Dave, I know my money's not worth anything today. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, there's a ton of problems. People can go check. If you really want to learn the basics, I'm putting the basics down based around newspaper clips on Brat Economics on Getter.
Okay.
And so inflation, the debt's the big deal, right? So we're cracking right. $50
trillion. Yeah.
And the Republicans went along with that and just gave away the best leverage we've had in 20 years. But the real upshot that no one's paying attention to, right, is there's the financialization of the economy. That's the stock market and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, somehow the stock market's still going up kind of this week, right, for various reasons. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
What really matters is that's all fake, right? That's the Federal Reserve and government spending stimulus. And yeah, I can explain that later. But what really matters for your kids and what you just said, it's called the real economy. And the real economy is driven by that. If you look at Macro 101, the macroeconomics textbook, right? What causes economic growth? The answer, for the most part, is capital, meaning machinery, tools, robots, farm tractors, shovels, et cetera, right? Tools.
Right.
I just looked that up because I was like, something's really wrong here. And boy, I was right intuitively. So I looked up Chinese capital investment, and their capital has been growing at 150% over the past 10 years.
Wow.
Our capital machinery has only been growing at 15%. Their capital stock is bigger than our capital stock. We're richer, older, and have had an economy since World War II. They haven't. And so that is the best predictor of future growth, right?
Okay.
And so that of course, goes along with productivity falling for the past 40 years. And that the best guy on that's at Northwestern, Robert Gordon. You can go look him up.
Okay.
And then one other indicator your folks might be interested are patents, right? Most of your suburban folks are familiar with all this stuff. If you get a patent, you're sitting pretty, right? And it guarantees you a monopoly position for, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So that's great for startups and everything. New stat out. Now, I posted all this, and this is all from Federal Reserve sources. This ain't, people who think I'm conservative, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Okay.
This is all just, standard government stats.
Right.
1% of all firms in the United States do 50% of the patents.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's not good. And so what that means is the big tech guys obviously are cranking out some patents, but then the big monopolies across all industries are buying the patents off the small guy so they can never get rich. And the big guys are protected from entry.
Wow.
And then you say, well, the small guys must have some. The small guys, firms, et cetera, have less than 10% of the patents.
Wow.
And so all of that is a story about the old days of economics. You had your pro-growth, Republicans, tax cut, that's all they say.
Yeah.
Right? We'll grow our way out of it. And the upshot of what I just told you is we're not going to grow our way out of it. With a declining relative capital stock compared to China, they're blowing us out of the water. When you see the charts I posted, you won't believe your eyeballs. And then when you put that together with patents and productivity, we will not be growing our way out of this. We're going to be printing money until the whole thing pops. And no one seems to care.
All right. Let me ask you about the capital part first. I understand this. Okay, so China growing at 150% yearly, I think you said, right? They just keep building more stuff. The past decade. Okay, and we've grown at 15%. But, Dave, is it possible? I'm going to be the annoying kid in the back of your class who says, well, Professor Brat, that's because we already had that stuff. We didn't have to build anything new.
No, yeah. Well, I would tell that student you missed a key term called depreciation.
Okay.
And right, so you can build your capital stock. And right now, the folks on the cutting edge are the heads of IBM. They come to Liberty. The head of AI for the Pentagon came to Liberty.
Right.
Artificial intelligence. I talked to them, and they're basically saying, if you're not on that curve right now, you're toast.
Wow.
Right? If you're not at least starting to integrate that technology. And so, yeah, it's even more problematic because the answer you gave actually hurts us. We have been around longer. We still have a lot of capital stock left, but it's all dated.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Chinese capital stock is huge. And just in terms of the stock is the total amount of capital you have, right? The investment
right.
is what you add each year.
Okay.
So their capital stock is now $99 trillion, and our capital stock is only $69
trillion. Oh.
And we're growing slow, and they're growing like a rocket ship.
Wow.
So it's a problem.
That's a huge problem, Dave. So what happened
and
with...
And you never hear about this from any economists, right? It's
no.
fairly stunning. It's fairly
no.
stunning.
Oh, my gosh. And I would advise everybody, get on Getter, Brad Economics. I mean,
yep.
this is great stuff.
Yep.
So, look, you were in Congress, and you know yep. what a terminal sort of show that is and
yep.
and the rest of it. But I thought that we had our team was in charge. Republicans
yep.
were going to hold the line. We're not going to go along with this. And did
yep.
we just sell out everything with this vote?
Oh, everything. It's just stunning. We had, for the people that follow this stuff, Russ Vogt, V-O-U-G-H-T.
Yep.
He was the head of OMB. And he put out a budget that saved, we're going to be $50 trillion in debt, right, in 10 years. That's CBO. This is boring, right? So this is,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Russ Vogt was going to save $17 trillion off of the 50. Then the Freedom Caucus said, there's no way our conference is going to do that. So we compromised, right? The Freedom Caucus, you know, there's wild, crazy guys.
Yeah.
Compromise. And we said, okay, we're just going to cut $4 trillion off of 50, which is terrible.
Yeah.
But we said, we'll compromise. And so then they gave that to McCarthy. McCarthy goes to the White House, gives it all away, and goes to zero cuts. And the key to that was we had leverage because the debt ceiling increase was contingent on that, right? We
yep.
could have gotten it done.
Yep.
And so we always do that. You know, to protect a few seats, risky folks running in New York City or Chicago or
yep.
San Fran, et cetera.
Yep.
But at the expense of the country. And you can only do it for so long.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with, I mean, I keep saying our side, and I'm thinking, you know, you guys just keep assembling the circular firing squad, and then you can't figure out why those of us out here in the real world have lost confidence in the vast majority of people wearing our team jersey.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is eventually going to stop. We can only kick the can down the road here so many times, and... You know, I'm at an age, Dave, I think we're about the same age where I'm thinking, well, listen, you know, it'll have to, somebody's going to have to pay the bill. Maybe I'll just take up, I don't smoke, maybe I'll take up smoking and drinking and eating butter by the stick, because what does it matter to me? But man, you know, Harry and Joe, I think you've met, it's like, well, but what about these guys? Are they going to have any shot?
Yeah, no, you're right, and you don't want to turn to that cynicism, but what you said does point to what everybody has to do. You're going to have to protect yourself and your kids and your family and make sure they get educated
yeah.
in a skill set that's going to serve them well. Because I just saw a write-up a few days ago. I think Social Security now, by their own board of trustees, is upside down in 5 years now and Medicare in 10.
Oh.
So go fact check me on that. But that's what the kids got looking at them, and they need to start. These can be bipartisan.
Yeah.
Here's a real bipartisan, right, for people who want to work together.
Yep.
Have the kids, start a nonprofit, and just focus on the debt, Social Security, and Medicare, and no adults
yep.
allowed.
There
right?
you go.
Every kid in the country sends $10 to a crowdfund me. Some kid says, I'll be the director for $100,000. They get $100,000, run the show, get a couple associates. And you go lobby Congress on behalf of tens of millions of kids.
Yeah.
And guess what? They will quake in their boots.
Well, I think I may have a summer project for Harry. I mean, that may...
It's a winner. I'm telling you, I've shared that with more students, and no one's done it yet.
Really? Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, you know Harry. I mean, all kidding aside, I think he was the only high school student who ever served as an intern in your office. So he's he's a pretty smart dude.
Tell him. He'll get it. And it's good, right? No politician can speak out, or the seniors who vote will take your head off.
That's right.
I spoke up against the insolvency of the stuff when I was running, and I got my head handed to me.
Yeah.
But the kids, if they do it, it's fine.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, couple of things. Number one, Brandt Economics on Getter. I'm going to post that link because I want everybody to do that. And I'm not kidding you. Harry's home. He's going to be working remotely for the summer from here in Central Virginia. I think we're doing a road trip out to Liberty to catch up with you and just visit a few friends out there.
Good. Absolutely. He'll have more takers, and it just hasn't taken off because the kids, it's hard for them to organize, obviously, because they're in summer, they're doing internships, they're studying, they're starting jobs.
Yep.
So it's hard for them to organize, but they need to get organized.
They sure do. They sure do. Dave, I always love talking with you, my friend. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. We'll talk soon, I hope. That is Dave Bratt. He is the dean of the business school at Liberty University. He's just one of the smartest guys that I know. I figured this out a long time ago. If I'm the smartest guy in the room, we got problems. So I want to be in a room where I'm surrounded by people like a Dave Bratt who knows things that just, he's just brilliant. So anyway, I'll get all the links up so you can follow him over on Getter. I'll put them up on The Jeff Katz Show over on Facebook. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. And I'll put them up as well. Jeff Katz Show on Getter. The Jeff Katz Show on Getter. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Jeff Katz in for Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes Show. Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd, broadcasting from the Liberty University studios. Thanks again to Dave Bratt, Dean of the Business School at Liberty University. Joined us, of course, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Moments from now, Tony Pham will join us. Tony was the Director of ICE. He served as Director of ICE for President Trump. And I don't know, just one of those days, I'm kind of looking at stuff. It's just stuff, technical term. And I'm thinking, how messed up are we? Seriously, just how messed up has this country gotten as a result of these buffoons in D.C.? And then I think, wait a minute, Jeff. Are they really buffoons or are they just bad people? All right, because you can sort of make allowances for somebody who's just a dope. And believe it or not, that's the defense for Joe Biden. Oh, come on, Jeff. He's just a doofus. You go, oh, yeah, he's just a doofus. And then you realize, well, he's a doofus who is doing the bidding of really, really evil people who are determined to break this country, determined to destroy what we've built over the last couple of hundred years. And I think that's a problem. I joking with Dave Bratt when I said, well, maybe I'll take up smoking and drinking and just eating sticks of butter because I'm not going to be around when all this stuff hits the fan, am I? Well, maybe I will be, because he said it's not nearly as far down the road as many of us would like to think. Right? We're in a world of hurt. Okay, that we all, well, not even all of us. Those of us who are looking at it agree on it. Those of us who are reaping the benefits of the country being screwed up are going, oh, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Border, what do we need a border for? We don't need a border. That's been the policy, it seems, since the Biden administration lumbered into office. Just destroy the southern border. Reduce border patrol agents and customs and border protection officers. Reduce them to Uber Eats drivers and Lyft people. I mean, because that's what they're doing. They're just driving illegal aliens all over the place. They're bringing them food. They're putting them up in basically hotel accommodations. And then when it's time for them to go, they go, hey, okay, we'll see you in like 11 years. Here's a desk appearance ticket. And most recently, I heard we're not even doing that anymore. We're just saying, come on in. Border Patrol agents being ordered to just open up gates and fences and border protection devices and just pretend that this invasion is not happening. God, That's pretty dangerous. And then you talk about the economic side of this. I really, honest to goodness, want my kids to have a world. I want my boys to be able to go out there and be good, decent men and be productive and make our nation better than it was in my generation. And my dad made it better in his generation than it was in my grandfather's generation. That's what we're supposed to do. How did we get to this point? I don't know. Are we able to somehow address it and get it back on track? Well, I hope and pray that we can. I'm doing a lot more of the second at this point. Doesn't do enough to just hope. Well, I'm hopeful, Jeff. Good, so you have a smile on your face. I'm glad to see that. Are you willing to do any of the heavy lifting? Are you willing to call out what's going on? I mean, most of us who are part of the Todd Starnes program are obviously people of faith. We believe in the power of prayer. But I'll tell you, I don't think it's just enough to pray. I think you've got to be motivated. I think you've got to be involved in all of this. You can learn more. Remember, TheJeffKatzShow.com is available to you. The Jeff Katz Show over on Getter. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. And the one outlier is Twitter. It's just Jeff Katz Show. But it is Jeff Katz. Happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. And this, of course, the Todd Starnes Show. It is the Todd Starnes Show, live from the Liberty University studios. Remember when we used to have a southern border? No, seriously, kids, gather around, let Grandpa tell you the story of when we used to have a southern border. I'm not sure we're that far away from a situation like that. I am continually puzzled as I get reports, I get calls, I get texts, I get Facebook messages from friends of mine who are in law enforcement. Some of them Border Patrol, some of them Customs and Border Protection, some of them state, some of them local in Texas, Arizona, the rest of it. Man, and they're all sort of saying the same thing, like we've just fundamentally opened the gates and everybody's been told to stand down. I think that can't possibly be true. So I thought, let me go to somebody who knows a thing or two about this issue. My friend Tony Pham has a very, very distinguished professional career, starting as an attorney with a sheriff here in Central Virginia, a prosecutor. He was the superintendent of a regional jail in Virginia. He went to Washington, D.C. at the behest of President Trump to serve as the principal legal advisor to ICE, and he wound up as the acting director of ICE for President Trump. He's a great guy, and I'm happy to say joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Tony Pham. Tony, thanks for being here.
Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to the listeners.
Well, we're anxious to hear what you have to say. I just relayed on a personal basis friends of mine who were telling me these horror stories from the southern border, and I was just thinking they've got to be blowing it out of proportion. Are you hearing the same stuff?
No, I'm getting the exact same ground-level information in real time. I mean, you know, let me give your listeners a stark number here. In the last 2.5 years of this administration, we are now at 1.4 million known gotaways who have made entry into the interior of the United States. That CBP was just overwhelmed at the ports of entry and the border and in between the ports of entry for apprehension purposes. These individuals were able to get away from our honorable agents. And they're now inside the interior. So we're at 1.4 million, and we're not even done with this fiscal year, Jeff. And so we're going to keep counting the total travesty of what's happening at our southern border. I just want to point out to some folks who may not know, you know, Chief Ortiz of the Customs and Border Patrol folks, he tendered his retirement resignation. But he testified before congressional committee that we have tendered over operational control to the cartels of our southern border. And then on top of that, within a week and a half, the current acting director for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, my former colleague, also tendered his retirement paperwork as well. And so our border, our border and interior enforcement community, you know, I got to tell you, we're devastated right now. We're overwhelmed, and things aren't going to get any better.
Jeez. So, Tony, I'm just trying to figure something out. And look, you're far smarter than I am. So explain it to me. It would seem to me that this is almost by design, but that can't possibly be true, can it?
No, it is by design. I mean, the regulations and the policies that these individuals are putting into effect right now, those are intentional. So let's not kid ourselves. It's intentional when you put in the catch and release policies that are creating this massive release into the interior of the United States. I mean, we're not maximizing the detention capabilities that we have available. This administration has purposely reduced funding for the detention beds. And I got to tell you, why is that important? Folks have to understand the threat or the potential of being detained and placed into immigration detention. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, that is a disincentive to continue to cross over and recidivate and come across the border again and again and again. But if you're not expecting, or if you're not, you know, thinking that the CBP or this administration is going to detain you if you cross over and you're apprehended, and they're just going to release you, then everyone's coming with the hopes of putting one foot inside the interior, because they know that they're going to be released into the United States. And we can then talk about how many actually appear for their court hearings, which takes them somewhere between 4 to 5 years just to get their day in court.
All right. So you said, if I remember correctly, you said 1.4 million.
Million. Gotaways.
Gotaways. So we have 1.4 million, which is essentially the population of the city of my birth, Philadelphia, at this point, just somewhere in the United States, and we don't know anything more?
We have no idea where they are. They're unvetted. You know, we've already capped our numbers for individuals who are apprehended that show up on our terror watch list, right?
Right.
Luckily, those individuals were apprehended, but those numbers are pretty high compared to last year and the year before that. Definitely higher than when we were in office in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just one of those 1.4 million, if they intended to do harm, two of those 1.4 million, we just don't know. And that's the problem. You know, that's the problem. So the numbers aren't given to your listeners to stoke any fear. But you know how the left always says, follow the data. I'm just giving you all data.
Yeah. All right.
Now, Jeff.
No, I know. But my gosh, if we don't laugh, we're just going to bang our head against the wall. And I've already got too many holes in the wall from what this administration has done. So tell me about the appearances in court, because it used to be, if I understood, I mean, we would detain people, people would be returned. There was the whole Remain in Mexico stuff. You're telling me there's 1.4 million gotaways, which just means, I don't know, somewhere in the United States these folks are. But what about the people we do apprehend?
Yeah.
They have to show up in court, right?
Oh, they don't have to, because, I mean, you know, so here's the way the process works. I'm going to give you the number again. When I left office, it was at 1.2 million pending cases. We were actually trending down. Right now, there are well over 2 million pending cases before immigration court. So what that means is now the length of time it takes for an individual who actually has a bona fide claim for asylum, that individual is now waiting longer than 5 years just to be able to get their day in court. To be able to make their claim for asylum. And that just gums up the process for those who have real claims for asylum. Look, folks, I'm not telling anyone, and I'm not going to, you know, sell them any snake oil here. We do know that those are folks who do come to this country under threat of persecution from their host country.
Mm-hmm.
Those are real bona fide cases where you have bona fide claims for asylum. But when you allow everybody who sneaks into this country in between the ports of entry to end the Title VIII process, that backlogs those court dates, and everybody's claiming asylum who may not have a positive finding on their credible fear assessment, they end up, you know, just jamming up the system that was designed and intended to allow the migrants to make their claim for asylum and allow the courts to decide. I'm getting information that the court system ran by the Justice Department, what they call the off off-docketing
okay.
initiative. They are asking field offices, chief counsels, and courts to identify 300,000 cases, Jeff, to just summarily close and just remove from the docket.
Wait, 300,000 cases that they're saying just close them out because we just don't care anymore?
Close it out because we want to pencil whip the numbers.
Oh.
Right? I mean, a pencil whip, and now that's intentional. But, you know, the worst part is when you identify a case for an individual that you think would benefit from just what we call an administrative closing of a case, that person can never adjust their status here or their immigration status in the U.S. So they get pushed further into the shadows. Wow. And I just think there's a better way to do this to get a better handle on our immigration system. We had a good, I hate to call it a choke point, but you have to create that choke point so you can look at the system as it is set forward to be able to then set additional parameters as it relates to expedited hearings for these individuals. But when you're, I call it like a funnel system.
Yeah.
If you continually pour sand in the very top of the funnel and you jam up the exit point, it's just going to overflow at the top. And so I just think the policies that are put in place today, it does a disservice, one, to the career officials who signed up to defend our country, defend our border, protect our national security interests, right?
That's right.
But it also creates a disservice to those migrants who do have bona fide claims for asylum. And that now they have to wait 5 to 10 years before they even get their day in court. And so, you know, we have an option to fix this, Jeff. I don't mean to over-talk to you, but we have an option to fix this, folks. And that's next year. It really is next year because, you know, to the victor, the spoils, right? And so we have to, as conservatives, we have to unify. We have to get out and we have to vote our person, whether it was your person during the primary or not, because the left's policies, their immigration policies, their economic policies, no matter who the left puts up, whether it's Grandpa Joe or somebody else, again, you know, it's far worse than any policy that any of our Republican candidates would implement.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely correct, Tony. I mean, the damage that's being done to this country and the damage that will be done in the next 10, 20, 30 years, you and I may be sitting on the porch somewhere together sipping lemonade. Our kids, though, are going to be in the workforce. They're going to be out there trying to make their way in the world. And they're going to be in a country, quite frankly, that has set up systems that are rewarding people for all of the wrong reasons. I mean, when we talk about asylum as an example, I want everybody, if they're willing to be part of this and they go through the process and all the rest of it, you want to live the American dream? I get it. I mean, I love the fact that I was born in the United States of America. I've heard you talk passionately about how blessed you are to have come to the United States and build the life that you have. But asylum is supposed to be not just because you want a better life, it's because your life is actually in danger in your original country, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it goes back to that fundamental concept of the rule of law. You know, if Congress wanted the system to consider economic lifestyle enhancements, then that would have been written into the statute that you're asking ICE and CBP to enforce. But it's not. And like I said, not everyone is entitled to come to the United States under the simple auspices of wanting a better life. I get it, Jeff. Look, you know, I got to tell you, we are blessed and fortunate. And I keep hearing from so many folks from our community who did come through to the lawful pathways, like refugee pathways, right?
Yep.
And we waited and we got our citizenship or naturalization citizenship. You see all these wonderful naturalization ceremonies around.
Yeah.
Those are the individuals who are being shortchanged when begin to allow millions entry into the United States who have entered illegally. Yeah. And we're talking about not those that show up at the ports of entry, right, Jeff, who surrender for inspection. We're talking about the people that knowingly and willfully, as you see on all these camera videos, who are quietly trying to cross over the border or have the cartels traffic them into the interior through the ports of entry, because if CBP catches you, okay. But how many CBP doesn't catch? And that's 1.4 million so far. And so we know that there's a concerted effort by the cartel to purposely overwhelm our southern border because they know that our numbers down there, you know, we can't catch everyone.
That's
and
right.
That means fentanyl, drugs, and everything else are coming over that southern border as well.
It's insane. Tony, I appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Tony Pham. Tony served as the director of ICE for President Trump. He's just a tremendous guy. And the challenges that you and I have are very, very real. Tony pointed it out. You've got to vote for conservative candidates next time around. Or, frankly, you're just not going to have a country anymore. We've heard it before. You can't have a nation without borders. It is Jeff Katz in for my dear friend, Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes Show. It is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. All sorts of great things happen here, and I'll remind you that ToddStarnes.com is a must visit. Why? Well, because there's great writing, there's great information, and there's a video today, which it kind of sort of exposes the degenerate who's in the Oval Office. You see Joe Biden trying to grope Eva Longoria, and make no mistake about it, she makes very clear, very politely, but very clear, hey, dude, get your hands off me. Just absolutely crazy stuff. But next week, my friend Todd is doing all sorts of stuff with Newsmax TV. I'm so excited about it. Todd is actually joining us right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hi, Todd.
Well, Jeff Katz, excited to hang out with you. And by the way, we're going to be talking about that big story, Joe Biden trying to snatch those Eva Longoria's Flamin' Hot Cheetos there. We're going to be talking about that on Newsmax this afternoon.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. This is exciting. You're feeling comfortable, are you not, getting back into the groove of the whole TV thing?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's great to see so many former colleagues from Fox News Channel now working at Newsmax. Flew up yesterday and really treat me incredibly well, much better than I need to. By the way, you're going to love this, Jeff Katz.
Yeah.
We have free hot cocoa and coffee. I mean, they have, I'm telling you, they're rolling out the red carpet.
I love that. Man, do you have a butler?
Yes, Caleb Park is our managing editor. He also serves as the butler.
All right, so you have matched Harry Hurley's accommodations for you in Atlantic City. I am very happy to hear that, sir.
It's a lot of fun. I'm anxious to get back home, though. Been nice, but unfortunately, I will be here for a full week in the city. But we're gonna have a lot of fun on Newsmax, and of course, I'll be back in the anchor saddle on Monday.
Yep.
We'll be broadcasting the show from WABC.
Oh, wow! How cool is this, Todd? Listen, you deserve every part of this success, and those of us who are. We're fans, we're listeners, we're readers, we're viewers. We're just happy that we're going to have yet another avenue to consume some tasty tidbits from Todd Starnes.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, that big baseball game tonight.
Yep.
A lot of people are going to be there protesting, and so I have some thoughts on that. And, Jeff, we're going to be talking to Congressman Matt Rosendale, Trish Regan, Devin Nunes are going to be here as well. And we're even going to have a couple of stories from Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown. We're going to be talking about some things happening in the Bluff City.
I love it. So folks should look forward to watching you on Newsmax. You can find it on just about every system out there at this point.
Yeah, 4 o'clock Eastern, that's when we start. And by the way, I just want to say congratulations to you, a member of the Talkers Magazine Heavy 100. As a matter of fact, I also believe our good buddy Harry Hurley made the list.
Sure did.
And so well done, Jeff Katz.
Well, thank you, my friend. I am honored to be on that list. Those are some great, great folks, including Harry, including yourself, including many of the folks that you and I are friendly with. Well, Todd, I thank you for dropping by your very own show. You've already classed up the joint, and I know that you're going to go get ready for your Newsmax appearances. I handle a couple of details here to wrap it all up on a Friday afternoon.
All right. We'll see you on the radio Monday, but we're going to see you on TV here in just a few minutes.
I love it. Thank you, sir. That is Todd Starnes. Nobody better than Todd. I remind you, check out ToddStarnes.com 3-4-10 times a day. You want to stay in touch with me? TheJeffCatShow.com is my website. You can follow me on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show, and over on Twitter, Jeff Katz Show. There you have it. Jeff Katz in for Todd. You, I hope, have been enjoying the Todd Starnes Show.